It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The dark cloud that is the budget stalemate in Pennsylvania has been hanging over us for 7 months now, with the governor just days away from delivering yet another budget address. We'll be talking with Governor Wolf tomorrow, but today we're focusing on just how we have gotten to this point. Many feel the budget meltdown can be tied directly to gerrymandered legislative districts. As a Lehigh Valley Express Times editorial put it, when it comes to the stubbornness of legislators as it relates to the budget, quote, that intransigence may have less to do with the issues than the fact that most legislators are ensconced in safe districts immune from electoral challenge. When most of the legislature is beholden to gerrymandered clumps of like-minded partisans, it removes fluidity in budget debate and willingness to negotiate, end quote. So how do you take politicians out of the process of redrawing district lines to accommodate population changes? I'm joined now by phone by a legislator who has a plan, Democratic State Senator John Wozniak of Cambria County. Senator Wozniak, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Morning, or afternoon now, I guess.
It is indeed afternoon, sir. We'd like to have you, the listeners, join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is essspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at essspgh. How should the process of redrawing legislative districts be changed? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. And we also want to allow for those who have the opinion that nothing needs to be changed, that the process as it stands now is just fine. Clearly, our guest, Senator Wozniak, does not feel that way. And, Senator, let's start by having you explain how the process of redrawing district lines to accommodate population changes is currently being done.
Well, how it's currently being done, I guess it's the golden rule. Those that have the gold rule, those that have the majority, determine how those lines are going to be drawn. And where we're at today in 2016, you can take it back probably the infancy maybe three reapportionments ago, 30 years ago. Every 10 years there's a census.
Right.
And each one of those steps, the GOP has controlled the House, the Senate, and the governor's office. When you have that complete control, you tend to draw the lines to make sure there's more of your party than there is the other party. Now, to be fair, if the world was reversed, I'm sure the Democrats would do the same thing. But that doesn't make it right. And what's happened over those three decades of reapportionments of censuses is that although Pennsylvania has a majority of Democrats, ergo, and even though it doesn't show that in the elections this time, Tom Wolf got elected, but before it was a Republican, before that was a Democrat, before that was a Republican, seems to be the tenor of it, we have created, particularly in the Pennsylvania Senate, probably a permanent Republican majority, and in the House, a little more volatile, but still very strongly, and I think perhaps well into the future, Republican majority there. And what has happened is we've created these seats. You've made tremendous, powerful Democratic seats, mostly in our big cities. And in rural Pennsylvania, you've created these incredibly powerful Republican seats. And that in itself doesn't bother me all that much, but when you look at the makeup of the Pennsylvania population, whether it be Democrat or Republicans, most people out there are probably not ideologically far left or far right. They're probably more centrist. They're probably more moderate in their philosophies, and actually very few differences actually ideologically between a moderate Republican and moderate Democrat. But when you have seats that are 90% R or 90% D, what you're going to get is you're going to get the far-flung ideologues elected, because in primaries, because that's where the race becomes now, not in a general, because the opposition party can't win in those generals, and so very few people turn out in those primaries that the highly motivated individuals go to vote, and they have a tendency to be the ideologues. Those people have their candidate, their champion, who wins the primary, in a sense, automatically wins the general. They think they have a mandate from the public when they really don't, and now we have a stalemate between a Democratic governor and a very conservative legislative branch. It doesn't make for good governing.
And you characterize, when you look at the seats that the GOP has picked up in the past two cycles as a result of this, the way this process is currently handled. Are you saying that there are more ideologically extreme candidates because of this?
Absolutely. No question about it. And you could look at the last reapportionment in southwest Pennsylvania. We had a Washington County seat. It's now Republican. For as long as I can remember, it was Democratic. One down in Fayette, for as long as I can remember, was Democratic. Now, don't get me wrong. The demographics of western Pennsylvania have changed. There are more Republicans in those areas than there are Democrats historically. But still, numerically, those seats should not have gone there, but it's away some of those numbers. And you have to have the right horses, too. You take mine. They took pieces of a county, took it away. They moved me to the other side of the Allegheny Ridge, completely different culture there, an area that's extremely Republican, to make my area more Republican than it was Democratic. And that seat, the 35th, was always competitive, no matter which way you cut it. Now they made it a lot less competitive.
So explain the redistricting plan that you're proposing and how it's different and more fair than what we have now.
Well, I got the idea from I just heard listening to the news from Lehigh Valley, had an editorial there from Sarah Lisa Boscolo came to me and asked me if I want to introduce it. But it's based upon some language that was in a California law. And what I'm trying to do is set up a commission of 11 citizens that are obviously educated enough to draw lines and do those type of things, and to draw more objective lines based upon municipalities, counties, and not sheer political numbers. We learned that by reading in the Constitution, ultimately the General Assembly still has the final vote on it. So you can't completely take the politics out of politics. But I think what you do want to do is you want to make these political seats that we change every 10 years a little fairer, a little more competitive. I remember when we used to be able to make those compromises and consensus when it wasn't always thermonuclear global warfare. We're getting as bad as Washington now, and we have some real challenges in Pennsylvania, and it's going to take cooperation and not just muckraking and saying, I won't make any move anywhere. And something has got to give. This won't happen until after my watch is over. It's the next reapportionment that I'm looking at. Had an earlier meeting, actually, I guess it must have been the Harrisburg area NPR, and somebody called in. And although we don't have referendums in Pennsylvania, they're binding. Somebody brought up a concept of, okay, you have the concept of the commission and making an independent group of people to draw the lines, but how about a referendum non-binding to the plebiscite and let them say if they would like to go in that direction? I thought that was intriguing and positive.
412-246-2002. To join the conversation, you've now heard Senator Wozniak's plan. What are your thoughts about it? 412-246-2002, the number to call. Email esspgh@wesa.fm, on Twitter at esspgh. Let's go to Casey in Beaver County, who wants to join the conversation. Hi, Casey. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, how are you today? Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Hi, Casey.
My question to the senator is...
Casey, we're losing you. Casey, can you speak maybe more into the speaker there?
Go
ahead.
My question for Senator Wozniak is, if Pennsylvania were to adopt the same kind of a program as I believe they have in New Hampshire, where during a primaries, a voter who is registered as a with no party affiliation can choose whether to vote in the Republican or the Democratic primary, if that wouldn't help to level the playing field in cases where there are gerrymandered districts.
Okay, so Senator Wozniak, Casey is asking, what if Pennsylvania allowed people who registered with no party affiliation to choose whether to vote as a Democrat or Republican?
I think it gets a little difficult. I'm not familiar enough with the New Hampshire law, but I know there's been discussions about having open primaries and anybody can vote anywhere they want. But I think the system we have in Pennsylvania, most of the other states, is you have a primary so that each of the major political parties picks their champion. I know this squeezes out other parties, for at least in the early phases they go into the general. But I don't think that would really change the dynamics of that election when you have seats that are so 75, 85, 90% of one political party, I don't think you're going to have that many switchovers over there. And that would probably be, have to be separate legislation. And I think just trying to make an independent commission viable and trying to get legislation passed is going to be a tough enough battle, let alone changing the rules of engagement.
What has to be done to make what you're proposing a reality? And again, this is tied to the census, so this would be a plan for 2020.
Right. Well, first you have to understand that those that have authority and power don't want to give it up. It's human nature. It's gone back since Roman times and Greek times. So I'd have to get it through a committee. A Republican-dominated committee is going to be very reluctant to move anything that's going to take their pieces off the chessboard. On the other side, my Republican, my Democratic people are saying, well, we now have a Democratic Supreme Court. It was a Republican Supreme Court that okayed all the constitutional questions of the last reapportionment, but we'll have our champions in the Supreme Court. So we don't want to make any changes either. I disagree with both sides. I think a more fairly independent drawn map is going to be better in the long run for the citizens of Pennsylvania. I don't want to rely on Supreme Court. I don't think it should have to go to a Supreme Court. I think those lines should be drawn in such a way that you have no question of their constitutionality and dealing with the deviations and the percentages, that it shouldn't even get to that point, because we'd have a system out there by an independent commission that would make sure that those lines are drawn in an appropriate fashion, taking into consideration counties, obviously geological boundaries, keeping municipalities intact, not splitting a community down the main street, one side's one congressman and the other side's a congressman. I think it can be done, but it's going to be very difficult because we're trying to change a very traditional state and one that has an entrenched power base that, as I said, the Republican parties, they're not going to want to give up the power, and they control the legislature, and they will in the foreseeable future. But if we have, as was brought up before, perhaps a non-binding referendum, and it's something that the public says, yes, we'd like to move forward on that, that might get the enthusiasm from some of my other members that are more moderate thinkers saying, hey, this is something the public wants. Let's give it a chance. We can't be doing any worse than we're doing now.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are talking with Democratic Senator, State Senator John Wozniak of Cambria County about his proposal to overhaul the way redistricting is done in the state of Pennsylvania. And our number is 412-246-2002 to join the conversation. You know, when you talk about, you mentioned the possibility of the state Supreme Court weighing in. Of course, last year, the U.S. Supreme Court delivered that resounding decision ruling that Arizona and other states may use independent panels to draw up congressional districts. So has that maybe paved the way for independent panels to step in here in Pennsylvania and to look at how to change not only the state legislative districts, but the congressional districts as well?
I think so. I think what you're seeing a wave around this country. The frustration in Washington really drives a lot of situations, and I think the frustration in Pennsylvania just reflects that. I have no problem allowing a group of educated, responsible citizens working on drawing those maps. Now, the other caveat is, no matter the way the language is I have and the way we almost have to have it is the General Assembly and the Senate have to approve those maps, because otherwise we'd have to change the state constitution to take the politicians out of the politics, and that process, that would put us in the near 2040 if we were even fortunate enough to get something to happen. So I'm not so sure taking a constitutional change would accomplish our goal. I'd rather do it legislatively. I don't mind leaving a little politics inside the politics. I just want to reduce it a little bit to make it fair out there for the citizens themselves. It's a disservice when you have districts that are so lopsided. And what happens is it's those primaries that become the general elections. And so very few people turn out in those general elections, you really have a minority of the population that's actually registered to vote, which in many cases is the minority of the people anyhow, making a decision who their leaders are in Harrisburg, or in Congress for that matter.
We have an email from Mike who says this is a national problem and it undermines one of the most basic principles of democracy. And I believe this is the root cause of gridlock by allowing extreme candidates to reach office with the support of a narrow group of people. What can a citizen do to support Senator Wozniak's efforts? And is there a nationwide movement to support this?
Earlier today, Barry Coffin from Common Cause, and it's interesting, I don't often see eye to eye all the time with Barry, but there is a statewide organization, and I would surmise that Common Cause is nationwide. So there's a movement out there to try to start getting the legislators in all the states involved, engaged, and find people to introduce the legislation and move it forward. I'm still trying to craft the language and try to make it somewhere that I can get the votes that I need. I need 26 votes in the Senate, 102 votes in the House, and a governor's signature, and that's how it becomes law. But to get there, I have to be able to get out of committee. Once I have a bill introduced, actually has a number to it, the gentleman, what you can do is you can call your local senator or representative and say, support Senate bill, whatever number it might be. I wouldn't be surprised if there's somebody in the House running very similar legislation, because a lot of times when you have legislation that's sort of like bipartisan in spirit and affects both chambers, you'll find introduced on both ends, maybe a little slightly different, but the same concept out there. So I'm still wrestling with the concept. I want to get it down in concrete language to introduce it. Once that happens, then you reach out to the people and say, connect with your legislators and your senators, and trust me, we don't bite. We're more afraid of you than you need to be of us, because you control our destiny in your hands.
412-246-2002. Let's go to David in Allegheny County with a question for Senator Wozniak. Hi, David. Welcome.
Hi. I just had two questions for the state senator. The first was, what are the advantages that his proposal has over, say, using a computer-generated model that would go based on population and different records and use an objective algorithm that isn't necessarily vulnerable to subjective opinion.
Okay, let's let the senator take your first question there, and then hang on, and you can ask the second one, time permitting. Go ahead, Senator.
Personally, I really don't have a problem with that. I think you can plunk in enough information in the computer that would take in consideration of geological and demographic differences. I mean, a mountain shifts people. I mean, Pennsylvania is very diverse. Keep those municipalities intact. I wouldn't have a discomfort level with doing that, but I'm sure that it would have to be some tweaking. The reason I put the human factor into it is because you can't really take the politics out of politics. And if a computer does it, people say, well, that's the computer. I don't have a problem with that technology. And quite frankly, that's the technology that's used to draw the maps anyhow, because you plunk that information into the system, and then it's the human beings that start moving the lines around. So fundamentally, we're still using computers, but I think that independent human citizen group gives it that credibility that I think is important, so that we can make sure that it passes the muster of the Constitution.
All right, David, quickly, your second question.
The second question was just simply, instead of simply the focus on gerrymandering, also on moving away from first-past-the-post elections, where you have a winner-take-all system versus something that rewards people who come in good, strong second-place finishes or something like that?
Hmm. What do you think?
I'm not following that.
Go ahead. Can you explain that a little better, David?
So what I mean is that, the voting system that we generally use throughout the country is that the person with the most votes wins. And there's it's just basically a plurality of the chosen voters that are there.
So are you saying that we should have a runoff in the primary where you have the top two candidates maybe go?
Do that. You could do something like the alternative vote where you put down your first choice and then alternative choices to that. There's a multi-member system where you choose both people by elections, and the party also chooses a selection of people to try and balance some of the representation out. But in general, when we use with countries that use first-past-the-post elections, they get skewed results. The most recent of those was in the UK, where you would see a really lopsided result for the Conservatives, whereas the vote totals actually didn't bear that out.
Might be kind of a stretch. I don't know, Senator Wozniak, any idea that might work here?
I think it should work here, and you can see sort of what he's saying. Although history doesn't hold it up, Pennsylvania has a million-plus Democrats over Republicans, but it seems that every other election is a Republican governor, a Democratic governor. But in this instance, you have a Democratic governor in a Democratic state with a lopsided majority of Republican legislators and senators. And I think it's because of the absolute authority of the last time reapportionment was made, the Republicans controlled the House, they controlled the Senate, they controlled the governor, and they controlled the Supreme Court. And so, although Pennsylvania is predominantly Democrat, and probably moderate Democrat at that, the makeup of this legislature has become extremely conservative. And we have gridlock, and it is not good for the citizens. And I don't think it's good for politics, because what happens, people throw their hands up, they get frustrated, they don't participate in the political process, and those highly motivated ideologues do get motivated, and they get their people in office. We have to make it easier and fairer so that people feel, have a comfort level that their vote for their state representative, state senator, United States congressman is at least being fairly placed out there, and it is competitive.
We're down to just a few seconds. When will you introduce your proposal, Senator Wozniak?
I hope to have it in before the end of this month.
And what do you think the chances are that it will pass?
Well, hope springs eternal. But it's like anything else. If there's a wave across this country, Pennsylvania is usually the last one to make changes because of our nature. But I'm going to be doing some research. There's some national organizations, a national conference, state legislatures that keep information like that. We'll monitor what some of the other states are doing. And you can see if it begins to catch traction throughout the nation, it'll catch traction here in Pennsylvania. Maybe I won't be the person who puts it over the top. Maybe I got to the mountaintop and I saw the future. Might be somebody else to get us there. But I think we need to have this discussion. I think it's fair. I think it's right. I think it's correct for both political parties. And most importantly, I think it's fair for the average citizens out there who want to participate in a political process. And obviously do because of the decisions that their lawmakers make.
Democratic State Senator John Wozniak of Cambria County joining us. Senator Wozniak, thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Coming up, a look at 50 years worth of Super Bowl commercials. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.